Welcome to the Retail Media Moguls podcast, brought to you by Platform 195. We share trends and strategies across retail media to help you accelerate your brand growth. I'm your host, Stuart Adamson. Welcome to the Retail Media Moguls podcast. I'm your host, Stuart Adamson, founder and CEO of Platform 195. Today, we're privileged to host Jürgen Wagenaar, the head of retail media Mark Saturn. Jürgen is someone who has a proven track record working internationally, building retail media teams all around the world and kickstarting their fortunes with his hard-earned expertise. It's a result-driven culture in retail media, and the commercial importance of this area of marketing is growing all the time, which is why experienced heads like his are always highly prized for their ability to offer a guiding hand on the tiller. He's used to working for and with A-list brands with more than 2,000 campaigns on a yearly basis. So there's not much in this fast-paced world that could intimidate him. So welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Stuart. And I really appreciate the intro. Those are some kind words. Thanks a lot.
Just because there's a community that listens to us from around the world, why don't you tell us a bit about MediaMarkt Saturn and what that is and what the sort of strength across Europe?
Well, of course, MediaMarkt Saturn is a multi-billion company within consumer electronics. We have more than 1,000 stores across Europe and 50,000 colleagues working hard to compete in a quite competitive retail field of consumer electronics, which, across the whole value chain is quite mature and competitive, and means that due to low margins that we have to fight for every euro and extra added value. And therefore, we definitely see retail media being a very important strategic measurement that we have started around about 3 years ago. And I've always worked in the Benelux organization, in the Benelux part of the business, which is, from an e-commerce perspective, quite mature. But very happy to now be in a role where we see retail media rolling out in all the 11 countries that we are. So, really nice work.
I think you've got nearly 1,000 stores, is that right, across Europe?
Yeah, correct. We are currently with 1,000 stores. And like I said, revenue is about 22 billion. And we see retail being consolidating at the moment. And we are taking quite a bit of market share in a lot of the countries at the moment. So that's good for us, but it does mean that the market that we are in is quite competitive. And that also means for us to be quite innovative and changing our business according to the needs of the customers.
Yeah. And tell us about how evolved the retail media piece is. You said you've been doing it for 3 years. How evolved is that?
I think we all know retail media, and the definition of retail media is quite fragmented. So in some sense, we have been doing retail media for quite some time, for longer than 3 years. But really deep diving into scalable, data-driven products that are influencing the ROAS of our suppliers directly. And that's something that we are in for 3 years now. But it's also good to know with our partners, we have been doing CRM, on-site bannering, furniture shopping shops for almost 15 years. So at the end, these two worlds are colliding, but also really helping each other out in order to grow business and to build trust with our partners that are working with us on the retail media for some time now.
Yeah. And where are you seeing the fast areas for your retail media business?
Yeah, for us, on the one hand, of course, online business is extremely important here. As MediaMarkt's biggest differentiator is also offline. Our goal is to really make sure that across the full customer funnel, we are creating media products. At the moment, our most important retail media product is sponsored product ads, as it's directly influencing ROAS, return on investment, from our partners, and it's really steering their business in a positive way as well. So that's where a lot of focus is at the moment, but I feel like more towards the future, it will be much more full funnel and including our stores alongside with all the e-commerce options that we do have.
Yeah. And obviously, so you've got that going. So how many campaigns have you got running at any given time at the moment? Have you got serious scale, or have you got the challenge of monetizing the long tail?
Yeah. So of course, we are tracking every, let's say, campaign. And my best guess would be that on a yearly basis per country, we are doing around about 2,000 campaigns. But that being said, not all campaigns are currently including retail media. So approximately at the moment, 10% of this amount is retail media. But this part is growing heavily, meaning that the part of, let's say, a little bit more the traditional marketing topics that we are working with our suppliers with and with our partners, that is now being shifted and even added with some of the retail media options that we do have. So looking into numbers, 11 countries times 2,000 campaigns, it's a little bit too much pressure to do the math, but you get my point.
Yeah, and take some management. I mean, that's the beauty of the scaling of revenue. When you can monetize the long tail and you're in multiple markets, the actual replication across other markets in terms of packaging and pricing is relatively simple. So actually the scalability is enormous. And that's what you need, having the platform, the tech.
This is also for us the core, the reason for us doing retail media. It is scalable. It is proving to be quite valuable for our partners. And because it's scalable and trackable, you can monitor it and change it on a daily or even on a minute basis, of course. So that's really helping out our partners on the one hand, but that also means that our business becomes a little bit more profitable, of course.
Yeah. And what is the balance actually within the business itself with sort of in-store versus online sales? What's the split?
Yeah, we are, of course, from origin, quite a dominant offline player. But we have seen online business increasing quite a lot in the recent years. And of course, COVID steered the full market. So that also meant that our growth numbers in online doubled. But currently, we are country per country, of course, a little bit different. But we are at about 3/4 offline and 1/4 online. But we also really measure our ROPO effect. And we also see a lot of our offline customers who are, of course, buying in-store, that are heavily being influenced by people that have seen ads or have seen information on our online platform. So at the end, it's, of course, reinforcing each other.
Yeah, the robo, research online by offline. Brilliant. So tell me about the innovation in store then. Are you doing much in there or is the innovation largely digital?
Yeah, for now, it's largely digital. I mean, this is the part where 90% of our competitors are. So that's also our first focus in the first couple of years concerning retail media. I mean, we have seen quite some consolidation of competitors, especially on the offline market. And we really believe, and I think Corona also proved that, is important to have stores and to really make sure that people can visit stores, touch and see and talk to our colleagues there. But yeah, like I said, biggest competitors are online. And the most direct data that we can give our partners is also derived from online. So the focus is definitely to start there, but we are currently also working with in-store TV and LED screens and trying to create an even more scalable and data-driven way of tracking the digital out of home.
Yeah. So tell me about that data piece then. How are you working with your partners with regards to data?
Yeah. So I think MediaMarkt has seen both ends of the equation. I think in the beginning, we have grown extremely a lot, mostly due to pricing and by, let's say, also taking over some of the market. And in that period of time, we were actually quite intransparent with our partners. So they saw their deals running like hell, and they saw definitely return on investment, but they could not know if it came from one of the campaigns or it went from a flyer or whatever. So the last couple of 5 years, we have been much more open. I think that's important. It's also one of the market standards that have been set in the recent years, also by some of our competitors. And we are fully on board on that. So I think we are not even seeing our suppliers anymore as suppliers, but as being partners. And as being partners, they need to know our data. They need to know where the customer is clicking, is reacting, is even from eye tracking research, is looking in the website and in the customer funnel. But that being said, we share it with the reason to improve each other, as we also see a lot of partners not only really liking and trusting MediaMarkt in that way a lot more, but also using the data to improve on a daily basis or to improve their campaign and media mix with us. So that's helping both ends.
Great. At the moment, you're talking about sponsored ad products. Presumably you're doing display and email. Are you doing anything offsite yet in terms of audience extension?
Yeah, we do a lot of, but mostly partner marketing and traditional stuff offline. So like I was saying, offline, of course, digital out of home is definitely a scalable and data-driven product. But to relate it directly back to what's the impact on the return on advertising spend, that's not where we are at this point. So we do have a lot of opportunities for suppliers to improve their awareness. But in terms of connecting the data in a way that is full funnel, I think that's the next step that we are about to take in the upcoming year.
Yeah. It's an interesting one when you've already got that sort of legacy revenue in the business. I think when we were at Thomas Cook, we had a legacy amount of hotel partner marketing or brochure revenue in the brochures. And a lot of people quite stuck on keeping brochures because it's an emotional thing and a tour operator. But actually, you know, the opportunity all we were tasked with was how do we shift that money out of the brochure or detach it, you know, and into more sort of measurable digital channels so that it gave the business the freedom to cut the volume of brochures because they didn't need to be printing as many as they did. And also because it was not sustainable, to, you know, both from a cost point of view, but also from a planet point of view. So actually, it's a really interesting project doing that and doing that across multiple markets. It's no mean feat, but it's hugely satisfying when you can do it. So it'd be great for maybe we can have a chat about that another time. But really, really exciting how you can shift that part and traditional part of the marketing money into what we now call retail media, but is actually more sort of owned and data fueled channels, you know.
Maybe to clarify also from our part, I feel definitely like you're saying, shifting, let's say, non productive old school media into retail media. That's definitely what is happening from a budget shift perspective. At the end, our, let's say, motto is not to make sure that the money goes from left pocket to right pocket, but really adding to the customer funnel and making sure that we can create something tailor-made for our partners. I think that's very important as these 2,000 campaigns have all 2,000 different objectives and starting points. And therefore, when you are scalable and when it is data-driven, it's much more easy and also better to be explained how you are changing budget into extra budget. And even tapping into extra, let's say, revenue streams like from non-endemics or agencies. So yeah, it should really be an added value, not only from a budget sense and from the fact that it is scalable and therefore a little bit more profitable, but also in order to make sure that the campaigns that we are doing, like for instance, launching the new iPhone, that is actually really resulting into extra iPhones being sold. That's, I think, the second goal of retail media is to increase its value on steering the business.
Yeah. So tell me what's next. Where are you going to go with this retail media business? Is it more international expansion? Is it more products? What's the mission? What's the vision?
There's so much stuff to do. It feels like we are in a scale-up situation. I mean, definitely not in a startup anymore. That's the progress we have done from a product perspective. I think there is a lot to win from an organizational perspective. And especially like you mentioned, Europe is quite fragmented in a retail media sense from competitors. But also if I look at how the organization has been set and how suppliers are even reacting to some of our retail media opportunities. So one of our core items for this year is to really make sure that our approach to the partners is being standardized, but also aligned with all the key stakeholders in the company. As the impact of retail media, like I said, is it's not only a profit one, but it's also really impacting steering the business from one partner to another or influencing the yearly negotiations that we have with some of our strategic partners as well. So yeah, in order to make sure that we do this in an quite standardized, unified ways that suppliers can trust and also really know what, let's say, the counter performance is, I feel like this year that will be one of the core topics. And secondly, like I said before, making sure that we are aligning with the full funnel and not only with e-commerce. I feel like simultaneously, if we can make both things happen the upcoming year, that would really create a baseline that we need to keep that extreme growth that we are currently experiencing in retail media.
Brilliant. So I think one of the really interesting things is how you're doing this across the international markets. And I've done that. And I know that it has its own challenges in terms of winning hearts and minds. How have you done that? How are you doing that in terms of getting those teams aligned?
Yeah, at the end, and especially with a corporate, I've also quite some experience, even a lot more than I do at that field, but especially in corporates, big companies, it's important to have strategic alignment along the boards. I think that at the end is one of the baselines. If you don't have that, you will never be able to integrate it in the way that you probably want to. So that's one. I think especially the first couple of years, explaining retail media was extremely important. Now we are in the phase of implementing in a way that it is also scalable from a sales perspective. So we have a couple of people that are dealing with flyers and brochures, a little bit like the old-fashioned ways. And the other one who is competing on the same money with a retail media proposition, probably the retail media person will win, but that's not the core business. I mean, at the end, the team should be working together. And like I said before, it's extremely important that our partners are getting all the options and that we are like a consultant, consulting them on how to use our media platform to get to the objectives. Like I said, with the one partner, it will be much more about awareness. And then brochures or flyers can still play a part given the budget. But most of our partners, as they are also quite in a competitive field, they're always searching for ways to gain market share and to win out of their competitors. So that's where retail media is really adding value.
Yeah. And with those teams in those markets, have you been given the freedom to recruit new people, or are you sort of absorbing people who are doing partner marketing within the business before and then sort of trying to get them up to skilled up, you know?
Yeah, so definitely. I'm currently recruiting 20 persons across Europe. So whoever is listening and feels like MediaMarkt could be an interesting market leader to work for, I would definitely recommend. But that being said, that's just the beginning. And I know on partner marketing, they're already working more than 100 of our colleagues in the different countries. So adding 20 is really helping out, giving them a little bit more sales power and a little bit more expertise. But the real quest this year will be to have the 100 who are already working on partner marketing, to have them also into the retail media boat. So let them also understand what retail media could bring and how suppliers and our partners are really expecting us to be quite data-driven and transparent about the media that we do. So that being said, yeah, we all always in a competitive business, we are looking at the current year, but with retail media, it's extremely important to look long-term from a business case perspective, from product perspective, but also from an FTE perspective. So therefore, we do already have longer-term plans to keep increasing this team. And I feel like that's really important also for good people to know that there is a long-term plan with retail media internally.
And where is those 20 that you're recruiting? Are they sales, or are they more operations? Are they sort of partner facing, or are they more actually campaign fulfillment?
So there's a little bit of both. I mean, we're working with Iteo platform, and that means that if you really want to analyze or do self-service or to do upsell, etc., you really need client success people. So 5 out of 20 will be dedicated for client success and making sure that we analyze the data also in the countries. So that's important to know. But secondly, a lot of them, we call them consultants, will be client facing, partner facing. But that being said, they are really being consultants, not pushing a narrative, but making sure that partners are aware of the options, that we also are looking into extra revenue streams outside of our endemic field of direct partners, let's say. So therefore, there are also definitely some sales people being added in the countries. And that being said, we also have a central organization that's also almost doubling its FTEs on a yearly basis. So that should be reinforcing each other along the way.
Yeah. Let's talk about that non-endemic advertiser bit. That's obviously challenging, but how much of your revenue is that driving, or is it just still starting?
I have to be honest, it's definitely still in baby shoes. We do see some countries really making big deals with lottery partners, with Nike or Adidas, or let's say partners that we are not currently actively selling as a consumer electronic brand. But that, like I said, there's a big difference between country, and that also has to do, and that's why upcoming year is so important to unify our approach concerning retail media, because non-endemics are also challenging from a, let's say, a customer journey perspective. You don't want to have certain messages or even landing pages outside of MediaMarkt being pushed to, let's say, alter the customer journey in some sense. So it really needs a tailor-made approach, but also a strategic outlook and some guidelines on how to deal with non-endemics. So therefore, I would definitely say it's early beginnings, but we do see quite some potential there. Well, a lot of also their potential clients could be in the MediaMarkt store, for instance.
Yeah. I think the key is with that, certainly in an organization like yours, is that governance piece. It's that there's two pieces, actually. One is just communicating the fact that it's not actually a threat, because very click-through rates on advertising are very low, and that actually the margin that you make on the media versus, you know, any cannibalized, potentially cannibalized product sales is massive. but then also that set of rules around what's allowed on site and what isn't, you know, non-competitive brands and things like that. But we see some retailers just open it up completely and not really care about having competitors on there. And then we see others who just can't stand having the click-out stuff on their site. So it's always just depends what their tolerance level is within the business, but governance is crucial.
What I really love about this topic, and that's why we are also quite cautious on the non-endemics, to be honest, is that we have seen that at the end, the customer is the most important person that has to be taken into account. I mean, in, let's say, changes that consumer behavior also took place, is that we cannot see retail media as a silo anymore. If we would definitely see it as a silo bringing in revenues or creating profit, then non-endemics could be extremely part of a big part of the business. But yeah, that being considered, it could also hurt online e-commerce. It could also really hurt the current core business that we are doing, which is at the end consumer electronics. So therefore, that's definitely also a big topic on our table that we should never consider it to be a silo and work together with the online teams. Yeah.
Great. Now let's talk about technology for a minute. Wait, so you talked earlier about self-serve for your advertisers, which is obviously great when you've got that volume. What are you using in the background to across the markets? Have you got technology that everyone's using, all your campaign managers and retail media consultants? Are they all logging onto a platform, or are they using the different platforms to get the different campaigns live?
No, most of our campaigns are done via the Criteo retail media platform. That being said, we also have the opportunity now to provide reporting dashboards with our partners. That obviously runs via APIs and different methodologies and technologies than via the retail media platform. But like I said, Criteo is definitely playing a technical, extremely important part for us. But what I always feel, I try to always step into the partner shoes, is not to have too many different dashboarding or platforms. Yeah, at the end, especially when you're talking about self-service, you want to include sponsored brand ads, or you want to include different parts of the products also in the same platform. So therefore, yeah, centralization from a scalability perspective, again, is quite important. But I feel from a partner perspective, for them to recognize the data and to use it in an, let's say, simple and effective way, I feel like that's also important to centralize.
Brilliant. Good. So, I mean, we've probably got a minute or so left. Let's talk about campaigns, shall we, and brands. So we've talked about the partners. Who's doing the creative stuff? Is everybody doing anything really exciting with you? Or tell us about any campaigns that really stood out that you feel that brands are really utilizing retail media well.
And what I love also from my partner marketing stuff is full funnel campaigns. And I'm a telco guy, so I've always worked in GSM departments also in the past. So whenever there is a big launch, whether it's from Apple or we just did the Samsung launch from one of their flagships, I feel like we are covering the full set of items. I also feel like these partners, I'm just mentioning two, but most of them, they're also quite professional when it comes to data analysis. And then you really create a partnership, and we set up, but that's the problem within retail. As a retailer, being at the end of the value chain, you're always quite late in being informed of new campaigns, new products, and you need to act fast. So what's the one problem with speed is that there is no time to really set up good objectives with each other. I feel like for these kind of big launches, we take the time, and we also, with our partners, demand some time to make sure that everything is being prepared. So for me personally, these big telco launches for me are always quite a highlight. And even though in my current role, not the one who is negotiating from A to Z, all the money and all the revenue and all the budgets that are related to it, I always make sure that I am connected to this full campaign. So that's what I really love. And let's be honest, for us, especially within consumer electronics, the Black Friday period is also extremely, effective. I always really love to be in store, also in that period, because at the end, a lot of what we are doing is affecting real customers, and that's where you will see the big impact. But these are definitely campaigns that I love to be in the middle of.
Are they actually being creative in the middle there as well, or is it bringing the creative piece within that partnership?
Yeah, this is very interesting. So maybe you have seen a little bit of our CI, our communication. Since last year, we've really pushed our Let's Go proposition, which is also quite related to services. So whenever we are doing a campaign, we are not thinking about purely the product, but always a product and a solution. So therefore, our aim is to, of course, as a retailer and being a quite well-known brand, to really push for our design and creativity and our, let's say, message. But at the end, with partners, we always have to find sometimes a middle ground or a creative way to push one of our solutions in. And like I said, with telco, there are so many services that can be added to helping customers out. So therefore, most of the designs are being brought by us, but purely, let's say, product design, of course, is coming from the supplier, and there we meet in the middle.
Yeah, fantastic. I think that if you can bring that element into a partner marketing program or retail media, they call it these days, but it just creates such traction with the client. It does two big things. One is it creates a thing that you can rally around with your client. So you're effectively becomes emotional around, well, what you're delivering. They get it. They can see it. It's visual and it's emotional. Sorry, there's three bits to it. The second bit is measurability, as if you can show that this social engagement got, because it was so creative, got X amount of views or competition entries or whatever it may be. It takes some pressure away from product sales. So actually, because you're creating traction and engagement that isn't necessarily just a product sale, it's a brand thing. And then third is the scalability of the deal size. So actually, what happens is they do part with more. They invest. It's a decision for them to invest a bit more in the first place. But actually, once you show that that stuff works, they start coming back with increased budgets to do more and more things, either building on that initial creative idea or creating a new one each year to help drive more and more sales and be creative. And I think there's a big step change required in the industry, which it will probably go through over the next 3 to 5 years, which is that stuff will really come in and become really important, because at the moment it's really a race to just how do we get our brands using our media. But in time, it's going to be, how do we now grow this? How do we grow this base? And that, for the big partners, that mixture of creative and media solutions is crucial.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny. I always say, especially internally also to explain the impact of retail media, I say exactly what you're saying. It's threefold. One is definitely, it's a profitable, scalable topic, so it will affect your bottom line. Yeah, let's be honest. But secondly, like you were saying, it's steering the business. So you can really select some partners that you want to do retail media with, because these are the partners that you do want to communicate on. And whenever they are investing their money, they see the return on investment right away. And thirdly, like you were saying also from a branding perspective, yeah, for us, it's extremely important that suppliers are communicating in a native way. And secondly, also budget-wise, we have, of course, I think in all of the industry, we see also branding budgets from retailers being positively affected by the fact that retail media is bringing in money, but not costing that much, and therefore making it possible to really push more on the branding that you want to push as a retailer. So yeah, that's definitely core business.
Good. I like the attitude towards it, because sometimes it gets completely forgotten that it's such a way of delivering results. Last question. Sadly, we've run out of time because I'm really enjoying it. But you've had a similar challenge to my previous life at Thomas Cook, in that you're growing this business across multiple markets. You've got a legacy sort of offline larger share. You've got a massive business. Say there was somebody in your position in another business. What sort of three things would you say to them to help to focus on? Or what is the solution to basically building a retail media business in an organization like yours?
Yeah, I think, and this is probably the advantage of retail media in this period of time, I think it's gotten a lot more positive traction. So therefore, to convince people internally, I feel like that part is definitely a little bit more easier. Secondly, yeah, across the countries, like you said, there is a legacy difference, but there is also a difference in terms of how partners are perceived in retail media. And again, I feel like this era of time, partners are organized quite European. So whenever we are talking to Dyson, whenever we are talking to Logitech or to Apple or Samsung, they are comparing their data mostly on a European level. So whenever they start doing, let's say, sponsored product ads in one of the countries, they can test it, they can see how it works, and then they multiply or then they scale up as well. So therefore, yeah, it is helpful that we are organized in an international way. But like I said, budget owners are always in our business quite locally settled. So therefore, bringing those two together, I feel like that makes sure that we are covering some of the gaps, because yeah, you have, of course, your top 20 suppliers, and maybe also some of the long tail, but both need to be addressed in a way that it's helpful for them as well. So that's definitely something interesting, and that will take some time to do it in a European way, but we are getting there. And I feel also some of the basic elements of making that a success are there now, which make it probably a little bit more easier to scale it up as well.
Great. Good. Well, look, thank you so much, Jeroen. I'm going to pronounce your name right. But thank you so much for gracing our Retail Media Moguls podcast. It's been a fascinating episode, and we'd love to have you back if you come and tell us about how the journey has evolved. We'd really love to see you. But for now, thank you very much indeed. And hopefully we'll see you soon.
Definitely. Thanks a lot, Stuart.
The Retail Media Moguls podcast is brought to you by Platform 195. To learn more about Platform 195 and how to connect retail media with intelligent marketing to accelerate growth, visit platform195.com. And then make sure to search for Retail Media Moguls in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. Make sure to click subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. And on behalf of the team here at Platform 195, thanks for listening.